Good morning. Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Roland McFarland, one of the ministers of the Pine Top Church of Christ. I encourage you to open your Bible and to search the Scripture with me to see whether or not the things we teach are true. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, commends the Jews of Berea for searching the Scriptures to see whether or not the things taught by the Apostle Paul were true. That should be our attitude also. If you have questions or comments regarding anything that we teach, we would like the opportunity to study the Bible with you. Check out our website at www.pinetopcoc.org and email us at pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com or like us on Facebook. Our desire and intent is to speak where the Bible speaks and to be silent where the Bible is silent, that we may indeed speak as the oracles of God. We invite you to the services of the Pine Top Church of Christ, 1102 Pine Top Road, Russell Springs, Kentucky, in the Windsor community of Russell County. We have Bible class beginning at 9 a.m. Central Time, followed by our worship service at 9:45, and then meet again at 4:30 Sunday evening. Many families across the country are finishing their first month in quarantine. People have been facing this fear and uncertainty that comes with facing the unknown. No one in my lifetime that I know of has faced such uncertainty other than maybe those who lived through the tragedy of 9/11. Now, some may struggle with this fear of uncertainty, and that's why I'm bringing you this lesson today. I hope to show you that God did not create us to be fearful. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline. Paul is encouraging Timothy to continue steadfast in the spreading of the gospel. This passage is much more powerful when we consider the context behind the book. Paul is most likely in a Roman prison for the second time, and this time the consequences will result in his death. Even as he writes this, he encourages Timothy to find strength in Christ to persevere. So again, I want to encourage everyone that we have examples of individuals not giving up, and the end result will work out for their greater benefit. In Romans 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Let's begin with a young man who faced maybe more uncertainty in his life than anyone. Go to Genesis, and you could read from chapter 37 all the way to the end of the book about Joseph. I want to highlight some verses in chapter 37, verses 20 and 24 through 28. "Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Now, skipping ahead. "And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, the company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spices and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and so sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Joseph was beloved of his father Jacob, and his brothers were so jealous that they initially wanted to kill him. They ultimately decided on selling him into slavery. But could you imagine being this boy just waiting in a pit for something to happen? Your own brothers cast you down. We see, however, that Joseph was a good man and God was with him. Joseph, even in the uncertainty of slavery, was blessed by God. In chapter 39, verse 2, it says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." But with these blessings, Joseph ran into more trouble with the wife of Potiphar, who wanted to commit adultery with him. Joseph fled the advances of this woman, but for his purity, he was condemned to prison. Verse 19 and 20 says, "And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison." Joseph faces more fear and uncertainty, even though he had done nothing wrong. Even in this, God blessed him. Ultimately, Joseph becomes second only to Pharaoh after interpreting his dream about the upcoming famine. Joseph had been in a place of death, and now he was nearly the most powerful man on earth. And ultimately, God allowed these things to happen because by the authority of Joseph, the entire family of Jacob was allowed to live in Egypt and survive that great famine. Even through immensely difficult times, God saw his people through. Another big figure who never gave up was Paul. Paul had been in the highest positions of Jewish society. And yet, when he was faced with the gospel of Christ, he threw all that away to gain salvation. And not only that, Paul worked his entire life to correct his former mistakes and spread the gospel to others so they too could be saved. I think of one specific example in Acts 14, verse 19. "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, preaching the gospel." "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead." Talk about a scary situation. Paul preaching the gospel had made people from various stops on his missionary journey angry. It culminates in this moment where they believe they have killed him. However, Paul gets up and continues teaching. In verse 21 it says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and Antioch." Lystra is where he had been stoned, and the people from Iconium and Antioch are the ones that had stirred the people up to do it. People faced this opposition head on. He didn't give up from teaching them the gospel, even when they had attempted to take his life. He continues anyway. I know a lot of Christians today feel like our ideals on what is right and wrong are being ridiculed more intensely today. But let's look at Christians from the Bible. I just mentioned Paul specifically, but look at the church in Smyrna in Revelation 2, verses 8 through 10. "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Christians were facing prison, torment, pain, and even death. The Roman historian Tacitus writes in his history annals, "Mockery of every sort was added to their deaths. covered with the skins of beasts. They were torn by dogs and perished, or were nailed to crosses, or were doomed to the flames and burnt to serve as nightly illumination when daylight had expired. This was written as a response from the Emperor Nero to blame Christians for the Great Fire of Rome in 64 AD. Christians were facing uncertainty and fear on a daily basis. The very fact that they gathered together put their lives at stake. However, I want to turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We will conquer any and all trials by the help of our Savior, Jesus Christ. A couple more that I'll share and let you read about on your own. Elijah wanted God to kill him because he felt he was the only one living faithfully in 1 Kings chapter 19. God instead encourages him to not give up and that there were 1,000 who had not worshipped Baal. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3 would not worship the golden idol. They would not give up in serving God, even if God allowed them to be killed in the furnace. In Matthew chapter 8, a centurion believed in Jesus and bid him to heal his servant. But he felt unworthy for Christ to come into his home. He said only if he spoke it would his servant be healed. In Mark chapter 2, we have a man afflicted with palsy, and his four friends try to get him to Jesus. The crowd, however, was so thick they couldn't get inside. So they went on the roof and opened up the roof to lower their friend down before Jesus. All these would not give up and acted in faith. I hope you know there are many more passages that I could have gone to on people not giving up and living faithfully. Even when Peter faltered in his faith and denied Christ 3 times, he repented of his sin and became one of the most outspoken proponents of Christ as the Savior until he too was killed for the cause of Christ. I want you to understand that Christ does inform us that we will face tribulation in John 16, verse 33. But he ends that verse with this, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." Christ has overcome, and if we remain faithful to him, we will too. So never give up. Let's search the scripture daily. Study the context, consider all the inspired writer said, and rightly divide the word of truth. In so doing, I think you'll come to the conclusion that there is a God, that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, who gave himself to provide atonement for our sins, that the Bible is his holy word, and that we will face this God on the day of judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Then in verse 21 he says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." But then in verse 24 Jesus says, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me." We show our love for Jesus not by saying how much we love him, but by obeying what he has commanded. His commands are the commands of the Father. Therefore, we need to know what his commandments are so that we can keep them and thus be ready to stand before him to give account of our life. Thank you for being a part of this study. Until next Sunday at 7:15, have a blessed week.